to open the Bible and come to a better understanding. If you think we have misapplied or mistaught something, let us know that. We'd be counted as our friend. We also ask that if you have any questions about anything that you heard or seen today, if you want some clarification, please don't hesitate to ask. We'll be more than happy to give you that information. Just one announcement I would like to make personally. I would like to ask that you would keep Rita in your prayers. She leaves Tuesday morning very early to go to Texas to see our youngest daughter and four of our grandchildren. And she'll be there for about 3 weeks. And we would ask that you'll keep her in your prayers. And she has a safe trip. And don't have to pray about the good visit. I know that will happen. But please keep her in your prayers. Please take your Bibles out and turn to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to be reading from there in just a moment. In verse number 34. When I was a child, you could buy a pack of Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum, 5 sticks in a pack, for a nickel. It was a penny a stick. How many of us can remember back that far when we could buy a pack of chewing gum for a nickel? I remember that going down the road with my father one day, and he took a pack of gum out of his pocket, gave me a stick of that gum, and we were talking, and I was so excited about getting the gum, I rolled the window down and I threw out the gum and had the wrapper. And I was pretty disappointed. Not as disappointed as my father was, but I was disappointed. And we kind of laughed about that. And when I look back on it, I remember how foolish I was. Well, you know something? I want to talk about something today that is just as foolish in my opinion. In Mark chapter 8, in verse number 34... I want to ask a question about the value of your soul. Every one of you in this audience this morning have an inner being that you cannot see. That is called the inner spirit. That belongs to you, that was given to you by God when He created you. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse 7, that man became a living being when God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so each of us have that inner quality within us. And you know, the body is like that piece of gum in a wrapper. It is not the wrapper that's important. It's the gum inside the wrapper. This body is not the most important part of you as a person. That's the one we take, that's the one that we spend a lot of time with. That's the one that we give a great deal of attention to. But I think maybe that we're leaving something undone that is of much more value and much more important. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The caring of and neglecting the most important possession that you own. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 34, I'm going to begin reading there and then we'll get to these two verses. It says, when he had called his people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? That is a rhetorical question. To ask the question is to answer it. There is nothing that you possess, that you could gain, that you might accumulate, that would be worth the value of your soul. And again, like that gum inside the wrapper, the body is all we see. The body is what we spend a great deal of time on because it's something we can touch, something we can feel, and something that we can see. But it's the inside. It's the inside that's going to live beyond your life here. Ladies and gentlemen, you are going to live in eternity somewhere. You're going to live in eternity, And eternity is beyond our comprehension to understand it. It's a life without end. It's forever. It's something that we can only imagine and comprehend, but it's difficult for us to get our mind around that. But what God gave us in this life, the most important possession and item that you have in your life, is your soul. And that's what needs to have your undivided and strict attention in life. Because that's the part of you that's going on to live forever somewhere in eternity. In Mark 8:34, we ask the question that we have to deny ourselves. We're going to have to put self on the shelf. We're going to have to look and focus away from me, away from this world, away from all the things that surround us, all the things that ask for our attention, all the things that tries to draw us away from the things that God would have us to do. We're going to have to make a conscious effort to deny ourselves and to take up His cross and follow Him. And that's going to be something that I want to share with you today, how we can do that. Now, friend, you have a soul within your body, and your soul is of infinite worth. It's worth more than all the money the world can accumulate. It's worth anything that you can think of. If you could have anything in this world, what would it be? If you could have anything at your disposal, and you could have life, would never have another financial worry, to have anything you ever wanted, to be able to live anywhere you want to be able to do anything that you would want to do, your bucket list would never end. You'd be able to do whatever you wanted to do. Would that be worth your soul? Would it? Would that be worth your soul? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that many people are selling out for a lot less. They don't have the whole world. Now, they're not selling out for the whole world. They're selling out for something much smaller than that, and their exchange is a poor exchange. Is it a fair exchange to gain the world and to lose our soul? And the answer to that is absolutely not. It is a poor exchange, and one that one will regret throughout all the days of eternity. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This earthly house is where your soul resides. It's the inner man. It's the thing that's clothed in the flesh and blood. But one day, this flesh and blood is going to be laid aside. It's going to decay. It's going to go back to the ground from which it came. And the part that's going to remain is the inner man, the soul. And that is going to go forward into eternity. Now, how valuable is that soul? You're going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell, one or the other. Every one of us in this audience this morning, whether you think so or not, whether you agree or not, it is a fact. It's a fact that cannot be denied. When life is over, when our breath has ceased from our body, we're going to exist somewhere. And then we're going to exist for an eternity, either in heaven and hell. And that determines by what we do with our soul while we are here. What you do with that possession that God gave you is going to determine where you and I place and where we will go in eternity. And whatever place it is, it's forever. There's no reprieve. There's no getting out. There's not going to be a call from the governor. You're not going to get out after a period of 100 years. It's going to be forever. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I would live to be 100 years old, and we know we have one of our members, Sister Lorraine Pixon, that's 102. If you live to be 102, how much time is that compared to eternity? Very small. Very small. So we're going to be wherever we're headed a lot longer than we're going to be here. And so we need to determine what's more valuable today. My life here, my body here, or my soul that is within me. Which is of more value and more precious to me? And you know that what? Two people know the answer to that question in your life. You know the answer to that question? And the God of heaven, who will judge you one day, knows the answer to that question. And we will all give an answer to that question one day. And so, I want to talk about the value of your soul this morning. I want to do that in three ways this morning and this evening. Number one, I want to talk about the tremendous worth of your soul. Your soul has a tremendous worth. It is very valuable, and we need to look at it as such. And then I'm going to talk about the tragic waste of your soul if you don't take care of it, if you neglect it, if you allow it not to be taken care of. That's a great tragedy. And last, the timeless welfare of your soul. Your soul is an eternal part of you, the only eternal part of you. And it has an eternal and timeless quality that we must learn to appreciate. And we hang in the balance whether we're going to love this world more than we love God. And we've got to make a determination, because whichever one we love the most is what we will spend the most time on. And if we love the world, we're going to spend the most time with things of the body, things of the flesh. But if we love God more, we're going to spend more time on spiritual things of spiritual value that have eternal and a greater weight of glory. The first thing I would suggest to you that your soul has much worth is because of its creator. The God that spoke this world into existence in six literal days created you out of the dust of the ground, me out of the dust of the ground. And as he created us out of the dust of the ground, he put within us our living soul, an eternal part of us that made us like God. And we are remade by the greatest designer and creator of the ages. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." We became a living being. We became life. We have life. And we have life, and what we do with that life is going to determine what goes on with the inner part of that life. Everything you and I do in this life has a bearing on your soul. Let me say that again. Every decision and action you make has a direct correlation to what will happen to your soul in eternity. Now, I want you to think about that as we go through this lesson. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are God's workmanship. You know, we are the greatest part of God's creation. We are the only part that was made in the image of God. We are the only one that of all the things that God created in those 6 days, we are the only one that were created to have fellowship and to have a spiritual relationship with God. We are His workmanship. And we were created to walk in good works that God has prepared for us to walk in them. Workmanship means a work of art. We all are a piece of the divine creation. And that makes us very valuable. When God created us, we have great value to God. We were the pinnacle of His creation. You know, the great Picasso, he's made a lot of money in paintings that have priceless amount of money. Millions and millions of dollars for pictures that I would never even hang in my house. But to an art collector, they are priceless. They are priceless because of his work, because of his ingenuity, because of his genius in the art world, People pay millions and millions of dollars for his paintings because of their value. The Pearls McDonough, and that's not the McDonough you're thinking of. This is a priceless painting that people come from all over the world to look at. Why? Because it has great value because of its creator. None of that compares with what our soul is in our minds and the hands of God. It is a tremendous of worth because of its possibilities. You know, what does that look like to you? That looks like a piece of marble, doesn't it? Just a big rock. Has no value. Can't see anything in it. But you know what? Michelangelo saw something in that marble. And he created a masterpiece that is renowned and respected and observed all over the world. But he didn't. He saw the possibility in the marble. He saw what he could make the marble become. And so it had great value to him, Michelangelo, because of what he could do with it. We have great value to God, and the possibilities are endless of what he can do with us if we will allow him to mold and shape us. If we will allow him to make us what we can be, that can be a glory and honor to him. Let me tell you a story. At the turn of the century, there was a man named Russell Crowe. He founded Temple University. Back in the day when $1 million was worth something, he raised $7 million going across the nation, giving speech and speech, this speech over and over again. He gave it more than 6,000 times. It was called the Acres of Diamonds. He told about a man named Al Hefford, who owned a beautiful farm in the Indus River. He had gardens, he had orchids, he had fertile fields. He's a very wealthy man. He was contented because he was wealthy, and he was wealthy because he was contented. But one day, a visitor told him about diamonds, describing how they were made, and the apex of their beauty, and the valuable mineral, and all the beauty that was contained therein. How a man with diamonds could be a king and have all kinds of power if he just had enough of those diamonds. Alfred woke up one morning a poor man and discontented. Did he lose everything he had? No. He had lost a thing. He was still wealthy, still had everything at his disposal, but now he was not happy. Because now he, not because he had lost anything, but because now he wanted to have diamonds. He sold his beautiful farm, he sold all of his land, and he spent the rest of his life looking for diamonds. He crossed the Asian northern, he went across Asia, he went into northern Africa, he went into Europe. He spent all of his fortune looking for the diamonds that would make him a very powerful and rich man. Dejected and spent, finally, he cast himself into the bay of in Barcelona, Spain, and took his life. Now that's a tragedy, except that's not the end of the story. However, the man who bought the farm that he gave away in order to go after his pursuit of diamonds was walking in that land one day in a stream, and he saw something of a black rock that was very shiny. And having an eye of the light, he reflected all the colors of the rainbow in that black rock. A friend told him, "That's a diamond." And that property became the famous diamond mines of Galando. The famous Coronor diamond of 106 carat crown came from that mine that was right in his backyard. He wasted his life for something he already owned. What's the point? You can gain everything you want in this world. You can gain every advantage that time, money, and opportunity can give you. And you can be considered a very wealthy, very prosperous, a very successful person. And yet you will die a spiritual pauper for the greatest possession that you own, you neglected, and you had it in the palm of your hand. I want you to think about that. Because that's exactly what many people today are doing. They're selling what they already have, and it can never bring them what they think it's going to bring them. The soul has a tremendous amount of worth and possibility. It's also very durable. It has durability. How long will it last? You know, something that doesn't last long might be a bargain. But it has durability because it's going to last forever. Your body is not going to last forever. And every year I get older, I understand this better and better. My body is not going to last forever. It's going to get weak. It's going to have sickness. It's going to have difficulty. And last, it's going to die. It's going to go back to the dust from which it came. Genesis 3:19, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. But part of me who makes me who I am, who makes me the person I am, that part is not dying. That part is going on. That part will never die. That part will live in eternity. And it will live somewhere. Where? Where will it live? It won't be on this earth, to the regret of many who believe in premillennialism. It's not going to reside in a paradise, utopia on earth. It's going to last in eternity in either heaven or hell. And you know what? We like to forget about hell. We like to believe that that place doesn't exist. But if hell doesn't exist, either does heaven. But one exists, they both exist. Because both are taught in the Bible. And throughout all eternity, we're going to spend it somewhere. And where we spend it determines the value we place on our soul today. It's also because of its rarity. How rare are our souls? They're unique. For example, the recent autograph, I'm told of an autograph to Christopher Columbus there, you see, is one of the rarest things today that can be found. And there's only a number of them in the world. The rarest stamp that's there in the middle came in 1856. It was a 1 cent stamp that now is worth millions and millions of dollars. And the rarest, the most valuable coins of the origin of the Athens is a 12-ounce silver coin that was minted around 500 B.C. And it's worth, we don't even know how much it's worth. It has a tremendous amount of worth. Why? Because it is so rare. Why are those things, all three of those things, why are they so valuable? Why would people pay millions and millions and millions of dollars for them? Because they are rare. They are unique. They are rare. But they're not as rare as your soul. You know why? Because you only have one. There are billions of other souls in the world. But the only one you need to worry about is your own. Because that's the one that's most rare. That's the one that belongs to us. There's only one you. God can never duplicate you. God has given you and makes you an original. You are an original. There's only one of you. You only have one soul, and I want to tell you something. You only have one reason. You only have one way to get this right. There's only one way to get this right. And that is that you've got to take care of it now, or it will be destroyed in eternity. You only get one opportunity in this life to get this right. And we need to be making the plans by doing things the way that God would have us to do. That's how valuable your soul is, because it's so rare. And so it's creative. Its possibilities, its durability, its rarity. That makes us unique. We are the most unique of all the things that God created. We have the greatest possibility. We have tremendous worth. Jesus sent His Son to die for us. That's how valuable we were to God. He wanted us to live forever. He wanted us to be with Him. And in order to make that possible, He sent His Son to die because He loved us and because of the great worth that He has in His eyes for us. Do we care that much about him? Do we even care? Do we even realize what we possess in our body, in our mortal bodies? Do we understand what's there and the value of it and the possibilities of it and how it's going to live on forever and how rare it is? Do we understand where that puts us? The crowning proof of any item is how much it's worth. That's a crowning proof of how valuable something is and how much it's worth. And what others are willing to pay for it. God paid for it with the life of his son. How valuable is it to God? I have a son, have three daughters. Love them greatly. They're worth everything to me. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for those four kids and for my seven grandchildren. I love them. They mean everything to me. But would I sacrifice one of them for you? No. I wouldn't. Jesus sacrificed his son for the whole world, which includes you and I. How much did he love us? How much does he value us? And for all that he's done for you and I, what does he ask in return? For this great gift that he placed within us, for the great value that he placed on us, for the great price that he paid in order that we might be able to be with him for all eternity. What does he ask in return? He's asked that we put him first in our life. That we make him the top priority in our life. And that we live for him and not live for self. Did he ask a price that's too high? Did he ask more than you're willing to pay? Think about it. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ was the down payment on our soul. What others will pay for it. Who desires to have it and why? God wants your soul, but there's somebody else that wants it too. He's called Satan. He's called your adversary. He's called the devil. He's called the dragon in the scripture. And he wants it too. But he doesn't want it because he loves you. He doesn't want it because he's concerned about you. He doesn't want it because he's done anything for you. Because he hasn't done anything for you. All he's done for you is brought in death, misery, sickness, every injustice that man can think of. All the gloom and the doom that you can think of can be traced back to the devil. And the only reason he wants you is because misery loves company. And he wants you to spend all eternity with him in hell. That's what he wants. And all he wants you to do is don't put God at the top of the list. Put yourself there. And he'll be completely content. Because then he's got you. Now you know what? We spend our whole life trying to stay away from evil people. Why, we wouldn't have friends that are evil. We wouldn't have friends that do evil things. And we would try to stay away from people who have no sanctity of life, people who do vile and terrible things, take innocent lives, people that do just things that are an abomination to us. We don't want to have anything to do with them in this life. But we'll spend our days here not looking after our soul, and then we'll spend all eternity with them. But we don't give that a thought. Do we? how much do you value where you'll place eternity at? The question now is, do you value your soul? How do I know, and how does God know, that you value your soul? By the choices that you make. By the decisions that you make. By the priorities that you establish in your life. That tells God how much you value this gift that He's given you. What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you giving in exchange for your soul this morning? Is God a priority in your life? Is God's work a priority in your life? Is being faithful to God a priority in your life? Is serving God a priority in your life? Is loving God more than you love anything else in the world? Is that a priority in your life? Are spiritual things a priority in your life? Or are they only when they fit your schedule? When it's convenient for you? When it's something that you don't have anything else to do? What about it? How much do you value your soul? And ladies and gentlemen, what are you giving in exchange for your soul this morning? I want you to think about this for a moment. Whatever it is that you're giving, if you don't correct it, you're going to regret it. And you're going to regret it for all eternity. That's a long time. That's a long time. And you know why I believe people have difficulty in setting the proper priorities in life, in being able to put God first, and be able to put spiritual things at the top of their list? You know why people have a hard time doing that? Because they do not value their soul. They don't value it. They don't believe what God says. You know what? You can doubt a lot of people, but you better not doubt God. God doesn't bluff. God doesn't pull any punches. God means what He says. He says that if a man determines to not love the truth, He will let him believe the strong delusion that it will destroy him. Read 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. If you don't love the truth, you'll believe something that's not the truth. And it will cost you your soul in eternity. And so your soul has a tremendous worth, whether you know it or not. The question is, do you value it? Second point, the tragic waste of your soul. I want you to think about it. We'll just get this part started this morning. The tragic waste of your soul. You know, everything in life we determine by profit and loss. What's in it for me? What's the pluses? What's the minuses? What's the positive? What's the negative? How does it benefit me? How does it not benefit me? This is the way we choose things in our life. By profit and loss. By what pleases me or what doesn't please me. How do you balance this scale? How do you balance what's important? What's profitable? What's positive? What's negative? How do you balance this in your life? How do you determine what's the most value and should take most of your time and get your undivided attention? No one gains the whole world. You know what? You're not going to gain the whole world. It's never going to happen. Nobody's going to gain the world. There are men who have tried. Napoleon, he tried. He met his Waterloo. Hitler tried it. He died in a bunker. Marx tried it. He died a poor and unrelenting man. You're never going to gain the world. Nobody's ever going to gain it. And so whatever you're going to give in exchange for your soul is going to be less than the world. That makes it an even worse bargain. Because you're not going to gain the whole world. So whatever you gain is going to be less than that. And you're going to give the most valuable thing that you possess for something less than the world. That's a bad exchange. That's an unprofitable venture. Judas betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. What did it gain him? It gained him notoriety that the Bible talks about him in any Bible that you read. And it didn't gain him what he thought it would gain him, did it? Because he tried to give it back when he realized that he betrayed innocent blood in Matthew 27, and then he went out and hung himself. Was it worth the 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord? But I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. These people are selling out the Lord for a lot less than 30 pieces of silver. That's nothing compared to what men are selling out the Lord for today. We got people all over this city, all over in this county, worshiping God any way that they choose, any way that they please, anything that suits them, anything that feels good to them, anything that they can attach God's name to, and they can do it, and they're selling out. For what? You go out today, you get out on 27 and you go towards Danville, look at the sign that hangs on the Carpenters Christian Church on the fence. You know what you'll see? You know what they're going to have next Wednesday? They're going to have trunk or treat. And when you come in next Wednesday to Bible study, you'll see cars all the way to the road to study God's Word, to exalt His high and holy name. No, to have a trunk and treat to entertain their children. Well, that's important to God, isn't it? That's what Jesus died on the cross for. That's what He gave His life for. That's what has value to Him. Do you see how preposterous it is what we give to God and we think He's going to receive it when He gave His Son's life? And we're going to give to Him things that please us, things that entertain us, and things that we want to do because we like them? Brethren, it's blasphemous to me to make a mockery out of religion. To make a mockery out of the sacrifice of God's Son. And it's mockery to me, to men and women who claim to wear His name, that don't have any more regard for God than to fit Him into their schedule when it's convenient. You're throwing it away. You're throwing away the most valuable possession you will ever own. And it's a tragic waste, because what you receive in return can nowhere equal what you're giving up. That's why it's a tragic waste. Here's something else I want you to think about in closing this morning. Whatever you gain, you can't keep it. You ever realize that? Because you're going to die. And when you die, everything you gain is going to be left behind for somebody to fight over, because you're not taking it with you. As Brother Lee said during this meeting, I've done a lot of funerals. And I've attended a lot of funerals. And I've yet not seen a hearse followed by a U-Haul with all the things that we gain and all the things that we possess and all the things that were more important to us than God. When we die, those things aren't going to mean a thing, because you can't take it with you. But yet, we'll spend all our life trying to accumulate it, trying to get it, trying to gain it, at the expense of the thing that's the most valuable, our soul. See, it's a tragic waste. Charlemagne, when he died, he was buried in his throne, sitting on his throne, with all of his riches with him. Centuries later, when they dug him up, what did they find? You know what they found? They found all that stuff. And they found their skeleton. And you know what's interesting? What's interesting? What part of this world can you keep and take with you? None. And so it's a tragic waste, because what we give, we never get in return. It would be okay if we receive something profitable for what we exchange it for, but whatever we exchange it for, we're going to lose it in the end. What you gain won't satisfy you. You know what? If you wish you had $1 million, and tomorrow you had $1 million, the next day you wouldn't be happy. Because the Bible says the more you get, the more you want. Riches aren't going to make you happy. Things aren't going to make you happy. Position's not going to make you happy. Power's not going to make you happy. You don't believe me? Ask Solomon. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. You think anything in this life is going to satisfy you and going to give you ultimate contentment and happiness and joy? It's not here. God never put it here. That doesn't mean that we're here to be miserable. We can be happy. We can be content. We can be thankful for God's blessings. But we can't be so thankful that we are so immersed with His blessings, so immersed with the rewards of this life, and so immersed with the blessings of this life that we throw away our soul in the process. That's a tragic waste. That's a tragic waste, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because how long eternity is. How long is eternity? It's forever. It never ends. I told you a long time ago. Listen to what Solomon said. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Money can buy you a lot of things. It can buy you a house. It can buy you a car. It can buy you property. It can buy you a lot of things. It can't buy you happiness. It can't buy you contentment. And it can't buy you into heaven. But it can sure keep you out of it. And you know what's tragic to me? Many people are not selling out for millions and millions of dollars. They're selling out for a few bucks, thinking that they're making a profitable venture. You know what? Money can buy you a wife, but it can't make her love you. Money can buy 4 years in college, but it doesn't mean that you're educated. Money can hire you a doctor, but it can't guarantee you're going to have good health. Money can pamper your body, but it can't save your soul, and it won't make you live forever. It cannot satisfy the deepest longings of your life. Pleasure doesn't satisfy. It's temporary. Possessions don't satisfy because they are temporal. And philosophy doesn't satisfy because it's ever-changing. Friends and everything your heart yearns for by sin, it will be found to be undervalued. But happiness and satisfaction can only be found in one thing, and that is God. Because God can make a meaning out of this world. God can make a meaning of this thing we call life. God can make a meaning of this thing we call the rat race. And God can make meaning of all the trouble and struggles and difficulties that we have to go through in this life. God can make sense of it. But you got to be listening. You got to be wanting it. You got to be looking for it. But if your mind is too preoccupied by physical things, then you're going to miss it. And you're going to make a miscalculation. And you may gain a lot of things in this world. I want some of you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying, because this applies to many of you sitting in this audience. If you lose your soul, the terror of the thought of that is beyond words. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dies not, where there is outer darkness, where there is eternal separation from God, and where there is no reprieve, no mercy, no pardon, and all eternity, to wonder what could have been if I had made better decisions and I had made better choices. And I really valued my soul of how different this could be. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not want you to find out about the truth about what I'm saying the hard way. But you can if you want to. If you want to put your Christianity on a shelf, if they make it convenient, when it's convenient for you to serve, when it's convenient for you to do what you think you can do, what you should do, and you want to make it convenient and fit your life, you have the choice and you can do that. But I want you to think about this one thing as we part, and we'll pick this up tonight. When you stand before Jesus Christ, and I stand before Jesus Christ, and I expect for Him to give me heaven, the greatest reward that He's promised man, a place where there's no tears, no pain, no death, no sickness, no dying, no temptation, no devil, no struggle, no pain. And I expect the Lord to hand me that over when I spend my life, majority of it, doing what I wanted to do, doing it the way that I wanted to do it, and fitting God in where it was convenient for me. Do you really believe? I want you to think about this as you're singing a song in just a moment. I want you to really believe that you can be convinced in your mind that you can do that and God's still going to save you in the end. Now, brethren, I'm not talking about never making a mistake. I'm not talking about perfect obedience. I'm not talking about going around with the Bible and preaching 24 hours. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being committed to the Lord. Being committed to the life. Being committed to His work. Being committed to my responsibilities and duty as one of His children. Am I more committed to the world than I am to Him? And if you are, ladies and gentlemen, you do not value your soul. And it's a sad mistake you're making. Please take your song books out to the song that has been selected. Brother Merrill will lead us in a song as a means of encouragement. As a means of encouragement for you to consider your spiritual relationship with God. If you're here and you're not a Christian, the Bible gives a very simple plan. You have to hear the Word of God that produces faith in your life. Hearing the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have to believe what you're hearing. John 8:24 says, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. You have to repent. That means you have to change your life. You have to turn your back on sin. You have to acknowledge it was wrong. You have to repent of it. You have to begin in your mind, and then it means a change in conduct. You're going to act differently. You're going to do differently. Then you have to confess His name, that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. But all that confession is an allegiance that you're going to be His servant. He's going to be the master, you're going to be the servant, and what the master tells you to do, you're going to readily do. Then you submit to baptism. Not a ritual, not a ceremony. There's no power in that water. All it is the answer of a good conscience before God. 1 Peter 3:21 is the means of the blood of Christ, the thing that takes away a man's sin. Romans 6:3-4. Colossians 2:11-13. That puts you into Christ. That puts you into the family of God. That makes you part of the kingdom. That makes you His son, His daughter. It gives you all the benefits of being in the family of God. The right to pray. The right for an inheritance, a hope in heaven. All that's possible by rendering obedience to the gospel. But many of you in this audience have already done that. And while you're now, since that day you did that, since the day you did that, do you truly value your soul? Are you living for Christ? And is Christ living in you? You don't have to convince me. You have to convince the judge, because he's the one that will judge you. If you need to rededicate your life to God, you need to do that. You need to pray and you need to seek His forgiveness and you need to make a course correction. And you need to do it before it's everlastingly too late. You know, how many times have you heard me say that you may not get another opportunity? I may not preach another lesson. This may be the last lesson I ever preach, last invitation I ever give, the last one you ever heard. And you know what? Someday, that's going to be true for you and that's going to be true for me. The thing that we have in common, we don't know when that will be. So we need to be prepared. If we can help you get prepared, we're here to do so. As together we stand, as we sing.